want to welcome you to Holy Belief Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I want to thank you for coming out to honor God and to be a part of a people in a time where we are setting God as first in our lives. I want you to know that we are thanking God for what He has done, and we are also thanking Him for the very fact that Jesus completed the most critical assignment ever given in the history of mankind. Listen, I want you to know that we honor the fact that on this day is a day that represents that God accomplished in Jesus for mankind the most profound act of love and grace that's ever been in history. I want you to know that we have a very expectation of God's love for us now and His desire to help us live this life as opposed to give us what we rightfully deserve. And so as we get to celebrate today, I want you to rejoice in the goodness of God, and I want you to be thankful this morning for what God has done for you. Okay? And you're just going to step into a moment of worship.
Your name is great, all praise will rise.
Well, this morning we have an early service in the good community. But for all of you who are able to be here for the early service, I did want to receive a time of worship to give you an opportunity to get to the Lord. If you have never been here, then you get to be the Lord worship. You get a little bit different. I have been down with people with this community. So what we do is that we're going to tell you to you while you take it, and then bring the worship any time that you so desire to have the remaining time that we worship, you can just come and partake of communion. But I do share with you just a little bit about communion so that we know why we take communion. We're going to look directly at the words of Jesus. And in Luke 22, the Bible declares that Jesus the resurrected King. That's why we're going to talk about the great service today, is how he says that we should not be And I want to take just a few minutes to teach you, because it says that in Luke chapter 22, verse 15, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and there was something in the Old Testament that the Jewish people always did, and it was called the practice of Passover. And what Passover was, it was commemorating the time that God's people were held captive in Egypt. And during that time of captivity, part of the way Moses got the land was the last thing that happened was that they had to sacrifice the land, put the blood over the doorpost of the doorway, and in death, Israel came into that nation, but he could not touch anything that was protected by the Passover blood of the Lamb that was symbolic of Christ coming to us again. And so I want you to know that the Passover was celebrated religiously every year until Jesus came, and he became our own Lamb and our Father. And Jesus earmarked it with this time that he said to his disciples in Luke 22:16, where the Passover hour was set. And it said, Jesus and the 12 disciples came and sat down, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And I want you to know something, that sometimes, if we're not careful, we act as though Jesus just suffered the few minutes or the season right before the cross. But listen, from the time he was 12 years old, and left his mom and dad the first time in the temple, and continued for 3 days to go searching for him, I want you to know that Jesus had set his heart to live for his Father, and had set his heart to live the burdens and the sufferings of his life, and he did. And I want you to know that when he got to this last Passover, that he was going to eat with his disciples, he said, for I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. And I just want to share with you for just a moment that the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 says that every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, which was always the Passover, but now it is the communion that we offer as a remembrance to Jesus for what he did. We take a symbolic piece of bread which represents the body or the word of God and Jesus and what he stood for. And then we drink a juice this morning in remembrance of the bread shed for us. And I want you to know something that the Bible says, every time you take communion, have a great remembrance of me. Remember what I did to you. Remember me until I come. And I want you to know that we are supposed to live a faith-filled Christian life, dedicated to God, dedicated to the Lord, and we live a life of sacrifice, holiness, and we pursue Christ just like he did with the mission. See, what we've got to remember is not with Christ being God and us being human. We actually don't just live our life for ourselves. We live our life like Christ did, for our families, for our communities, and for every man and woman that may be touched by our Lord. But we take this communion today, and we remember that the Lord not only gave his life, but shed his blood, not only that we would be saved, but that we can
Thank you. What a wonderful man.
What a powerful day it is. What a powerful day. Hallelujah. Situation, the ceases to exist. You are here Goodness, hallelujah. Jesus is definitely in the house. Amen. Praise God. Just give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Woo! Jesus. Well, I want you to know that. In this past today, amen? Hallelujah. I just want to give you a few of the first of all, I want to know that I do have a for some of you that I do don't know. And I do actually live in a facility that I have a
take that to the and we have a single we're going to continue to grow day by day. Amen. Woo. Yes, hallelujah. You guys are looking good. Praise God. in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and let the children go to children's school. The disciples, while he was on the earth, well after he had had many things going on with him that they got to see right up close and personal, who he was and what he was about. And I'm going to share some of those stories to you. But I just want to read to you out of the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And that I want to read something because it's very profound and it's going to speak to us about our life today. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is well into his ministry. He has been dealing with all the problems he faced between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. By this time, he had well done and had many great miracles. We're going to discover that this is actually one of the times that the Lord moves people in prayer and met the disciples on the boat. But he's here and he's speaking to his disciples and he says something very profound, and we're going to hear that Peter had a great confession of faith. And I want us all to come to these moments, but it says here in Matthew chapter 16 that Jesus was coming. It says, when Jesus came into the place of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of God, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the great prophets. And he saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou wilt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want you to understand something. That we see here that Jesus is talking to his disciples. And I want you to know that every one of us are going to get to this point in our life and need to get to this point. You know, right now, every year we celebrate Easter. And we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we talk about this, and I want us to really get it in our spirit that this was absolutely the most profound time in the history of humanity. I want you to know that I thank God in the altar that Jesus completed the call and walked to the cross so that we could have eternal life. I want you to know that we could read the scripture here in the book of Luke where Jesus says, for a long time I have desired to have this last supper with you. And we forget that when Jesus said, I desire to have this last meal before I suffer great tribulation, We like to talk about how he went to the garden. And we like to talk about how the angels came and strengthened him. And thank God they did. But I want you to understand something. Jesus carried the body of his daughter to go to the cross from his youth until his finality. Remember, it says that when he was 12 years old, he was so serious and so convinced that even at 12 years old, it was his time. Remember that as soon as he got into the city where he knew he was going to meet the cross, he ran to the synagogue. He lost track of time. He lost track of his family. For 3 days, they were searching for him. And finally, they came and found him and said, Jesus, what have you done? And he said, Mom, don't you realize that I must be about to find him, Jesus? And he was carrying the burden of his responsibility, even when he was standing there. John Lewis must have been so committed to the Lord. And it's well to know that we find ourselves in the synagogue, continuing he thought at that point, at the age of accountability, between 12 and 13, it was an age of accountability for all the ones that are to this children. He thought, I'm transitioning from my childhood to the potential of my young adulthood. Is it now going to be? And he was continuing for his faith in that man. And I want to know that over the course of Jesus' life, from the time he was a young child, all the way through, his future was doubted. His identity was cast down. They said, how could any good thing come from where he originated? We don't even know who he is. We say that, but we don't even know your origin. How can you be? And I want you to know that when Jesus was born and preached the gospel with conviction, he was not always celebrated. He was laughed at. He was threatened. His family was concerned about him. At one time, his family would hear and say, Jesus. And he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Not because he was disowning them, but because they were mad. I don't care if these people are threatening my life. I know what I'm called to do. And I'm asking you as Christians today, on this day that we celebrate the resurrection of the cross, are we committed enough in our life that we live this day for life to live? In Matthew chapter 14, two chapters before this, I want you to know what Peter said. In Matthew chapter 14, 28, they had been given a call to go across this water. And I'm telling you that they were going and stones were kicking up. And Peter and the disciples were on a boat. But it says that in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went under them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a spirit? And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, give me pain in the deep and the water. Now, here's what I want you to see. First of all, the leader of all the disciples that had to be come out of the water. It was pain. And here's what we've done in our new disciples over the years. We've emphasized the fact that Peter got out of the water, looked at his circumstances, and said, well, and he said, It was a little kid. A little kid. I didn't do it. I stand for the scripture a little bit. I like to take in this moment that God wants my children. But I tell you, he did it for Jesus. Not that to the world. But he did it for the world. So I think why don't we emphasize what took this time to do the same thing with the other ones that are in the first place? Maybe we would get there. Now, I guarantee we would get results for both of us.
And so it doesn't surprise me that just a couple chapters later, nobody else, even though the disciples didn't reach out and declare who Jesus was, but Peter said, I say you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I want you to know that I thank God for Peter's zeal. And I'm going to show you another place where Peter had zeal. I want to turn this to Luke. To the book of Luke. I want to go to Luke chapter 22. And I just want to capture something just for a minute. Because in Luke 22, we read when Jesus was having the Last Supper with the disciples. And they spent time together. And I want you to know that the disciples left that time with the Lord knowing that they were going to face him. In fact, it wasn't just Peter, but the disciples said, hey, Lord, we have a couple of swords. And Jesus said to Thomas, they were ready when they left the Last Supper. They fought, even if they had the full swords of the fight for Jesus. That they were going to fight. Little did they know that the kingdom of the Lord was establishing was well beyond anything they could see in the natural. But I want you to see here that Jesus prepared that not only that Jonah was going to betray him and give him over, but he tells of Peter's falsehood. And he tells how Peter is going to deny him, how Peter is going to come against him. And he says in verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And I pray for you that by faith shall you, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both to the prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that he was a ghost. But that would not be him. So much so that if you look at all the other gospels, it'll tell you that Peter rose up with his salvation to betray Christ and betray him. And Peter pulled forward. And Judas comes in verse 48. Jesus said it when Judas betrayed thou the Son of Man with a kiss. And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said to him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? In other words, the disciples were ready to physically engage, so much so that it would happen. And one of them, you can study this out and find out that it was Peter, spoke the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer you this time. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were coming to him, do you come out of against the priest which stood against them? And Jesus went with them and they took him. But I want you to know something. Peter was so convicted and so confused that he was willing to die when he cut off that ear. He was ready to go to war. Of course, Jesus said, well, this is not what my kingdom fight is about. And he healed that ear. But I want you to know something. That immediately, Peter got to see Jesus as healed. Peter got to see Jesus as peacemaker. Peter got to see Jesus as forgiving his enemies and praying for them instead of trying to kill them. Peter got to see the aspects of Christ
in the very fact that Peter was able to see Jesus as Savior, as the entrance of the kingdom, I want you to know that Jesus reflected in his walk, in his life, in all that he did, that he was before humanity, whatever humanity needed him to be, when they needed him to be. Jesus represented to everybody on earth that he was the healer. Jesus represented that he was the kind and forgiving Savior that would come again and again to your rescue. Jesus represented that he was the Lord of the good times and the Lord of the tough times. Jesus is the same Jesus who Peter saw. He saw him fill his net so much with fish that they had to get friends to come and get it. Peter was the man who saw Jesus so close in his walk with him that he saw that when he trusted the Lord out in places that, in all honesty, his humanity had no right to go out on that water. But with the Lord, he had a right to go beyond any place he thought he could go. And I want you to listen that before this happened, Christ the Lord cried and prayed and said, Peter, Satan's going to come and sift you right now. But I have prayed for you, Peter, and you're going to be able to go to the Lord. I want you to see this in the second book of the book of John. And you see that Peter had the tragedy of denying him. We see that Peter reigned and hid. Some of us have said he even said wrong words in superlative that could never be spoken in his denial of denying the Lord. But then after the resurrection, we find that it's been shown that Jesus has been given to him. It's shown that Jesus is moving, that Peter had given up everything to stop so ashamed of how he felt. But all of a sudden, Jesus comes, and they see Jesus from the story. And the minute Jesus is seen, it says that all the men, Peter himself, jumped in the water and swam. He would not even wait for the boat, but he swam to get there. And Jesus begins to teach them, begins to work with them, and told them what to teach them was, like he had before, they taught him how to do the same. And it says in verse 7, which would be John 11, it says in verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to him, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he gave his fisherman's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes, and soon when they were coming to the land, they saw Simon's coat there, and the fish lay there. And I want to go to verse 15. So when they had died, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of God, lovest thou me more than these? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, keep my word. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of God, lovest thou me? He said to him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, feed my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of David, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? He was reminding him of how he had denied him. And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said to him, feed when thou wast young, thou wouldest thyself, and walkest rather than wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt think another sacrifice and come to you when you call this man. And I will tell you that Jesus was your master, that he was your Lord, and that he lived this way without the Spirit of Christ in you. I want to just add one thing to you, that there are two things about Peter and the Bible. It says in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, hallelujah, I want to read to you in verse 13, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, and this word sober does not mean drunk. It's referring that if whether I'm worshiping, shouting, and acting crazy, or whether I'm being conservative, whether I'm being sober, or very alert, or very serious in this situation, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we must judge that if one dies for all, then we're all dead, and that he dies for all, that they which live should not henceforth. No longer should we live for ourselves, but unto him which died for you and raised again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no longer after this way. Yea, though we have known Christ after this way, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to remind you something. That the most important thing that has happened in the disciples' lives up to this moment was that Jesus took himself to the cross. But then immediately after completing the cross, the most important thing for all of humanity happened, which was the powerful bursting forth of that stone and the resurrection of the Savior who Peter mentioned to me. Lord that walked in the flesh after the Peter, not you. He already knew from the end. He was already on the other side. He was already transitioning into the womb of the Lord in the true truth. He already had the change. He was just the Peter of darkness in his life. And he was telling the Peter to speak to him as the Lord and the Savior, as the one who had completed it. And when he spoke to Peter this time, he said, Peter, when you were but now as you are older, ooh, now that you're in the fullness of who I have created you to be, Peter, you will never walk in your own strength ever again, because I'm with you. I am in you. I will be with you. The Holy Ghost is coming, and you are going to live from this day forth empowered in a way that no man had ever lived before. I want you to know that when Jesus completed the work on the cross, he empowered us to be brand new creatures. The Bible says in the book of John that before he came to the cross, no man could have him actually living in him, but now that he has come, he was physically resigned. Remember, this is the same Peter who saw Jesus through the grave, but saw him come right into his house and just lay his hands on his mother, who had a fever. And the word of it was part of the even our Jesus church. Have you ever sweated so hard that you sweat through the blood? Jesus is pressing to the biggest issue. But in prayer, he said, Father, even though I've left you in the ministry, if it's too clear possible, my mind will be done. Send me the strength to watch you. Anybody here today that's not committed to the Lord, and you'd like this opportunity, I see that you're everybody is so passionate. You know, sometimes we can find ourselves where people come to us. Even when we thought we were strong, we might find ourselves weak. Peter said, "Lord, I'm ready to go to prison, or I'll even go to death." But the minute this word was taken to that place, Peter's humility said on my knees, he denied, lied, and hid himself. And it was like to right there. And I'm telling you that we've had a couple of years for that. So I just want to say this prayer to you. And I want everybody to say it with me. Please say, "Father, in Jesus' name, I receive Jesus